Right now, the United States is often talked about as a land of opportunity for immigrants. But look at history shows that the country hasn't always been a welcoming place for those looking to start a new life here. From discrimination against Catholics and Germans in the 1800s to the rhetoric surrounding Mexicans and Muslims today, our next guest says social panics about immigration have been the norm rather than the exception in American history. Robert Bartholomew is a journalist and history instructor at Botany Downs Secondary College in New Zealand. He's co-author of the book American Intolerance, Our Dark History of Demonizing Immigrants. Robert, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, what led you to want to dig back into American immigration history in 2018 and look back at the ways immigrants have been seen in the country?
Well, after Donald Trump called Mexicans rapists, drug dealers, and gang members, I started to research the Mexican-American panic of the 1840s and 50s and thought, wow, this would make a great book because we've seen this before. You know, you hear many people today saying that the atmosphere of intolerance in America has never been this bad, but it's just not true. 170 years ago, Mexicans were being labeled as rapists and gang members. We have seen this play out before, and that's the message from our book. The current scare is just one in a long list of foreigner panics that keep on happening. And so to understand today's events, you need to go back into history. During the 19th century, anti-Mexican feelings in America were so great that between 1850 and 1890, just as many Mexican Americans were lynched as African Americans. But this has become a forgotten part of our history.
Going back even before that, we think of concerns about an alien religion whose values are incompatible with American democracy. That's how people viewed Catholics in the early 1800s. Can you start that story off for us?
That's right. The Catholic scare happened between 1830 and 1860, and there were hundreds and hundreds of books in the United States at the time that were vehemently anti-Catholic. There were stories that nuns were essentially sex slaves, and anti-Catholic riots broke out across the United States. Hundreds of people were killed. Convents were burned down. Houses of suspected Catholics were burned down. And so you have this over and over again. What is it they say? History repeats itself, or if it doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes. And around that same time, as the Catholic scare was waning with the Civil War, you had the fear of Native Americans. And you say, well, Native Americans, they're not immigrants, but they were considered foreigners in their own land. They didn't get citizenship until 1924. And in 1883, they came up with this code of Indian offenses where plural marriages, traditional dances, native healers, they were all outlawed until 1933. Native Americans were considered barbaric, lawless, simplistic, childlike. And people might say today, well, yes, they were quite primitive, but, you know, Europe was not much better at the time. Look at the witch hunts between 1400 and 1650, with some estimates upwards of 500,000 people died. I mean, it was just something that was different. Yet we wanted to engage in ethnocide, an attempt to wipe out an entire set of cultures and inserting in their place so-called superior Western values.
And with all these stories that you trace in your book, you see a series, up and down series of what you call social panics in the United States. How do you see those starting and spreading?
Fear. Moral panics, social panics, are periods of exaggerated fear of outsiders who are wrongly viewed as a threat to our way of life. They're going to take our jobs. They're going to rape our wives. They're going to leech off the welfare system. They're going to, in short, lead to the decline of Western civilization. They become very convenient scapegoats for society's problems. But in reality, the opposite is true. Migrants are less likely to commit crimes. Many take higher They take jobs that no one wants. They pay taxes, lowering the overall tax burden. And most acts of terrorism on U.S. soil are homegrown. I mean, if you look at it, last year in America, about 20 people were killed by cows. Dozens of people die every year from lawnmower accidents. More than 5,000 people last year choked to death. There is more of a threat to the average American from a chicken sandwich than there is from a terrorist when you look at the statistics. A recent study by the Cato Institute found that when they looked at all terrorist incidents by foreigners on U.S. soil, the odds of dying in any given year were about 3.5 million to 1. And that includes everyone in the September 11th attacks. And the threat posed by refugees and migrants is astronomically lower, over 3.5 billion to 1. Most acts of terrorism in the United States are domestic acts of homegrown terrorists. You know, what do we have to fear?
How do these panics spread? Is it something that you see people doing intentionally? Does it happen organically where these threats, what you're saying are minor threats, are exaggerated?
That's exactly what happens with moral panics. You get these organic events that happened, and just like rumors, sometimes in high schools you hear students say, such and such started a rumor. Well, rumors are like bowling at a bowling alley. You roll the ball, and then you can't control it because it morphs into all sorts of different things. And so it's really fear. And what's fascinating to me is how this fear drives the same eventual events. For example, today there's a fear that Obama holdovers have created a deep state to undermine President Trump. During the Red Scare of the early 50s, it was widely believed that communists had infiltrated the government and were intent on bringing it down. These same scares keep happening over and over again. The Red Scare of the 50s coincided with the Lavender Scare, the purge of thousands of homosexuals in the government over the fear that they would be blackmailed easily by communist agents. You know, we're always involved in a scare, and it just keeps happening over and over again. The one that was most stunning in the book to me was what happened with Jewish refugees during World War II. The United States only took in 10% of its quota of German Jews out of the fear that they were spies for Hitler. And in 1938, the German government was still letting Jews out of the country. Goebbels and Hitler used to joke that no one wanted them. And for the most part, they were right. In December of 1938, they had the famous Kinder transport with about 10,000 Jewish children from Germany who were allowed to travel to the relative safety of England. Many people don't realize that in the spring of 1939, there was a bill in Congress to allow 20,000 Jewish children to escape Nazi Germany. The Nazis were letting them go, and Congress turned it down. And one of the senators at the time, Robert Taft of Ohio, said that it was akin to breaking up families. He concluded that they'd be better off in Germany. But here's what's interesting.
I'm sorry, we'll have to leave it there. We're right up against our news break. Thanks to Robert Bartholomew. We've been talking about his new book, American Intolerance, Our Dark History of Demonizing Immigrants. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time here on the Ideas Network.